Offering our most humble pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet, dear listeners, we welcome you to Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam, a program where we discuss Swami's discourses, and the discourse series we are starting is the 1990 summer course series. And this is Prem from Team Radio Sai, being joined by Sai Prakash. As always, this is the duo which brings you this program by Swami's grace, and we are embarking on yet another episode. So before we begin, let me welcome Sai Prakash. Sai Ram.
Thank you, Prem. Sorry I wasn't here for the last week's episode.
Right.
But as I went through the discourse, I felt it's so powerful, like any other episode and any other discourse. But one thing which came very strongly in is, in a very strange way, Swami is starting this discourse with the topic of happiness.
Right.
And I was trying to think on why Swami started with happiness here. Because he says that everybody is seeking for bliss, the ultimate bliss. And as Swami always says, happiness is union with God. In a way, I also felt, because this is the, we are entered in, into this Anandamaya Kosha.
Right.
We have Annamaya Kosha, Pranamaya Kosha, Manomaya Kosha, Vijnanamaya Kosha. Vijnanamaya Kosha dealt with aspects of buddhi. So,
discrimination
and the mind. And now we are getting into Anandamaya Kosha. And one of the old, very old and long-standing devotees of Bhagwan was just speaking to me one of those days. And he was telling me, I told him, sir, what do you do? He says, see, everybody can experience the love of Bhagwan.
Right.
Swami has been doing so much.
Mm-hmm.
He gives all the time. And he gives his darshan, and he gives things, and he helps, compassion, and he's always giving and so loving to everybody. So automatically we relate to that love, and we are in love with his love. But he says, Swami is also Anandamaya. He is ever in bliss.
Right.
He is always full of bliss.
Okay.
Of course, his point of view was that if you want to experience even an iota of that bliss, you need to do dhyanam. You need to do meditation.
Okay.
And then I asked him. In fact, I further asked him, sir, what is meditation? What should we do? He says, nothing. Swami's form is full of ananda, is full of bliss. You just close your eyes, reveal his form in your mind's eye. You know, from the tip of his hair to his toe. And this is a method which Swami himself has taught him. So he says, this is all that I do, and I'm so much in bliss. I'm so much in bliss, I can't tell you. I might have just experienced 1,000,000th of the bliss in which Swami is. You know, that is the reason often when Swami is going in the darshan time and people say, Swami, somebody is not well. Very happy, very happy. Swami, somebody's marriage. Very happy, very happy. Be happy. Because he's always in that bliss. He's always in that state of bliss. And in a way, what he said, dhyanam, or concentration and meditation on Swami's form, it is an exercise, or it is a spiritual practice just to control the mind and go beyond the mind. And Swami would often say that meditation is beyond the mind.
Right.
Concentration, contemplation and meditation.
And
he would say meditation is beyond the mind. And if you want to really go beyond the mind, what better way than to just, you know, think of Swami and think of his love and think of his lovely form.
Very interesting, because I was also wondering, this is discourses on ego and attachment, and Swami starting with that bliss and happiness and how that is man's birthright. And
correct.
If he doesn't exhibit that happiness, then something is wrong with him.
True.
And I was wondering, you know, what is the connection between Ananda and this one? So I thought, let's see in the Upanishads, what is it?
Okay.
Because you have an Anandavali, right?
Yes, yes.
It's in Taittiriya Upanishad, a very important part of Taittiriya Upanishad.
Mm-hmm.
And that also talks about Ananda. And in fact, it talks about Anandamaya Kosha.
Correct.
That is where the concept is introduced in Upanishads very strongly.
Mm-hmm.
See, if you see in Swami's Upanishad Vahini, he makes a very profound point, and in fact, it shows the movement in these discourse series also.
Mm.
Now, Swami says that the Taittiriya Upanishad has three valis, you know, Shikshavali, Anandavali, and Bhrigu Vali.
Mm.
He says Shikshavali emphasizes on karma and upasana.
Okay.
It is always telling you, what is the right things to do, what is the most dharmic things to do, how you should treat your mother, how you should treat your, your guru, how you should conduct yourself in society. It is all about karma and upasana.
Correct.
How you can meditate, how you can worship. And Swami said, these two will never give you ananda. These two will never give you the ultimate state of Brahman.
Okay.
Because karma and upasana is, by nature, by its makeup, has a bit of desire for the result. He said, you might land up in heaven doing all these things, but you will not get the final, the final moment of ananda.
Oh.
And then Swami says, that can be got only when ajnana is removed. And he says, that is what Anandavalli and Bhiguvalli talk about.
Okay.
And that is why ananda is so related to, the concept of ego and attachment. Because Swami says that ultimate bliss can be found only when these two are removed. And a very beautiful point that Swami makes may not be directly related to what we are speaking here. Swami says that, it is like you're sitting in a train, a stationary train, and a train which is beside you is in movement, and you think that your train is moving.
Correct.
He says that is what is illusion. And that is what we are all doing. We are thinking that we are moving. We are thinking that this one. And Swami says it is not useful if you wonder where is this illusion coming from. Ask yourself, how do I put an end to this illusion?
Correct.
He says if you are only looking for the source of the thing, you will only be, caught up in paradoxes.
Correct.
Ask yourself how to come out of this
ajnana. Come out of it.
And he says when you do that, then you will be going towards the final goal.
So, what exactly is this ajnana?
It's from what Swami is telling, I think it is ego and body attachment.
Correct.
The belief that, and of course, even in that, the Vahini, Swami beautifully says that there are, this Upanishad particularly gives a description of the Brahman, which Swami also sings in a vajan. Swami says, Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Brahma.
Correct.
So, he said, whatever you come across in life, be it experiences, be it objects, be it desires, ask yourself, is it Satyam? Is it Jnanam? Is it Anantam? If it is not, don't go after it.
Beautiful. In fact, this whole pursuit for knowing who you really are, and this pursuit is the eternal pursuit, and it has been there over ages. And as I was just mentioning to you the other day, science has seen the world, and its findings have changed over time. But this quest for the eternal truth, what the sages declared, centuries and eons ago, still holds good, and it remains the same. Only the attributes and the, the faculties of the mind have changed and enhanced such a lot. But this is the eternal truth, and it always remains. So, it's so surprising when Swami says, remove the body attachment. Go away from your body attachment and disassociate yourself with the body. See, if you analyze how people have approached this problem in different ways, of course, the Dhyana Marga is constantly telling yourself and believing in the fact that you are not this body, you are not the mind, you are not the senses. And when you actually start experiencing that, then automatically all your attachment to the body leaves you. But for a more open and for an easier practice, when they start these concepts of Kriya Yoga and they start other yogas that have come up, it is basically what they say is, you have to take the body along.
Okay.
You have the body. Yes, you are endowed with this body. You cannot ill-treat the body. You have to take the body along, knowing all the while that you are not this body.
Right.
So they try to evolve that kind of a recognition and that kind of an awareness by telling you to first concentrate on your breath. So from the concentration on the body, you come to the concentration on the breath. And then you start going beyond that. And then you at that moment when you actually stop the breath, you feel that your divine energy is raising. So these are different ways people have approached the same, end result of trying to experience ananda.
You know, even as you were saying that the idea of, is of going beyond body attachment, I'm reminded of a short story which I read long back.
Mm-hmm.
It's a crime mystery.
Okay.
Okay. And the one who has committed the crime in that story,
mm-hmm.
is himself a detective.
Okay.
Okay. So he knows how crimes are solved. He knows
Lovely.
How clues are left behind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so he does a crime. I think he does a murder or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he so beautifully manufactures the proofs in such a way,
mm-hmm.
that anybody who is detecting the crime,
mm.
will be systematically and, you know, methodically removed away from the truth.
From the truth, okay.
He places, you know, trails in such a way, mm-hmm. that people will get misled.
Mm.
Okay, and that's when, and a very, very, as mm. the story goes, you know, they mm. get a very brilliant detective to come and solve the mystery.
Mm.
And for some time he goes along with the, mm. you know, the trail.
Mm.
Okay, and then at some point he says that maybe I should not follow my reason.
Mm.
He says, maybe this is a trap which is using my reason and trying to mislead me. Okay, he says, for a moment, let's just break reason and just think out of the box, and that's when he solves.
Mm.
You know, very often people ask, there are a lot of people who say, you know, you're given a body, the body has hunger, the body has some cravings.
Mm.
Why, you know, why deny it?
Mm-hmm.
If God has put it there, which means it has to be given.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is how people get misled. You know, after all, you're given a body. After all, you're given some attractions. After all, you're given some weaknesses. Maybe you're supposed to go along that thing. And it is like this, you know. It is a trail purposely made to mislead you.
Mm.
And only that person who goes beyond the reason, what is the most obvious, and goes beyond that, I think he will be the one who's going to solve the mystery.
Yeah, that's true. Also, there's this element of, you know, it's an endless thing. The more and more you want to satisfy your senses, the more and more you go behind your mind, it can just take you lifetimes of going behind them. Because again and again things appear fresh, again and again things appear new, and it can just take you on and on. So there's no limit to it. So all these points are very good to discuss, you know, theoretically, but when it comes to practice, that's where the lesson actually begins.
The only thing we're left with is prayer after that.
No, but you know, the only alibi I've got, and the prayer, as you said, is because in the Gita, in one of the chapters, so Lord Krishna said, the person who takes this message and shares it with others is very dear to me.
So let's hope we at least get in that quota.
Swami, please bless us that we have to practice this, but in the meanwhile, let us spread the divine message.
Definitely. And coming back to this discourse number 9 in that series, quickly the couple of things that Swami said here. Swami has told a long story.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of long stories, which has taken away most of the discourse,
mm-hmm.
but with both pertinent and very profound messages. One is, of course, that story we've heard many times before from Swami about the debate between Shankaracharya and Mandana Mishra.
Yes.
And Ubhaya Bharati being the judge for that debate, and how finally Mandana Mishra loses.
Mm-hmm.
And Ubhaya Bharati says that being his wife, I should also take part in whatever is the punishment which is meted out to him, or whatever
Correct.
He's supposed to take. So both take sannyas. And then Swami goes on to tell that other story where, you know, Ubhaya Bharati meets, as Swami puts it, Sarvasanga Parityagi, a man who's lying there, and he has this vessel which he's also using as his pillow. And then she comes by and she says that, you know, this man, he has given up everything, but he's got attached to this object. And she goes away, and this man picks up the thing in disgust, and he breaks it. So she comes back and said, I thought he's attached only to that, but he's also attached to his name and fame. And then he realizes that what he has been doing, and he goes and falls at her feet. You know, it's a very beautiful episode, because it not only talks about the greatness of Ubhaya Bharati, not only does it highlight the weaknesses which we might fall prey to, but it also says what a pure soul that man was.
Correct.
Because it is not easy to accept when somebody is pointing out your flaw. It has to be that the person who is pointing out the flaw is pure and selfless, and you also are pure, you know, to accept somebody correcting you.
I mean, it's very subtle. It's very, very subtle. And in fact, Swami was once mentioning, I think it was in Kodaikanal, Swami saying he had gone to one of the ashrams, and the head of the ashram did not actually come to receive Swami. He was seated inside the ashram. And Swami, of course, he never minds anything. He is always very happy seeing the smallest of a person, seeing the biggest of a person. So he was so happy, and Swami just went in. And that person asked Swami, "Swami, I didn't come to invite you, because after all, you and I are one."
Okay.
"After all, you and I are one. So I didn't come physically to bring you from outside." Like, he was trying to ask, "Are you feeling bad about it?" And all. Swami said, "That's okay, no problem." He was very happy. "Only I want to ask you a simple question." "Yes, what is it?" Swami said, "If you really believe that you and I are one, why did you have this extra decorations that I am visiting this ashram? Now, why did you put up these extra decorations? You felt that this is your ashram, that I am visiting your ashram, so you put this extra decoration. So you are having a distinction between you and me." So it can be so subtle even for a very highly spiritually evolved person.
Very true. And in fact, that is why Swami often would say, what is important is bhavadvaita.
Mm.
To have advaita ever in thought.
Correct, correct.
But when it comes to action, it is not possible always to be in karma dvaita.
Mm.
You know, it is not right also sometimes. You say you have to treat your mother differently from you,
yes,
the way you treat your wife, you treat your sister and a stranger. And that is what Swami also showed, you know.
Correct.
Nobody would have been in that state of advaita more strongly and serenely like Swami. But when he dealt with all of us, he dealt with us depending on what we were and who we were and what was required for us and what was necessary for us.
And, you know, one thing I always felt, when you look at Swami speaking to people and interacting with them and then picking up so many students and, you know, showering them with love, and you see how he always relates to the purest part of you.
Absolutely.
And, you know, there is a person who may have a million faults, but if he has that one good quality and that one bright, and Swami just speaks, because he relates completely to that. And, you know, at that point, he and the person whom he's seeing are one and the same.
So, you know, I was just a couple of days back, maybe a little off track, I was listening to that interview which Pandit Shivkumar Sharma had given to Radio Sai. We played it before. In that he says that people think that I'm a celebrity and I'm a world-renowned artist who's coming. He said, "I always come here only as a devotee, and Swami always relates to me only as a devotee of his."
Beautiful.
He never treated me like... You know, in the public, Swami would never put him down. But if it was necessary, Swami would never hesitate. You know, the fact that he was somebody who was renowned, somebody who was a celebrity, will never stop Swami from doing what is right for him. In fact, he says that, you know.
That's true.
One episode he narrates, he said when he comes for a concert, he brings along three or four other artists who are supposed to perform in Purnachandra. And an evening, musical evening is arranged. Three artists were performing. The last performance was supposed to be by Shivkumar Sharma. And the person who is making the announcement has come and made the announcement that Pandit Shivkumar Sharma is going to perform. And he has come on stage. He is standing in the, you know, side wings with the instrument. And suddenly Swami gets up and walks to where Panditji is standing and asks him, "Are you here till tomorrow? Are you, or are you leaving tonight itself?" He said, "No, Swami, I'm here." So he said, "Tomorrow I'll speak to you." And Swami went back and called this person who is making announcements and told him something. And this person went and made an announcement that the evening program concludes here. We'll have aarti. And Shivkumar Sharma says that the artists who came with him, they were all, you know, very, very disturbed, and you know, they found it difficult to accept. So they went and told him, they said, "Panditji, how can Swami do like this? He's dishonoring an artist. How can he do like this? You're such a great artist, and how can he announce your name and then say that you're not there?" He said, "See, you all might have come here as an artist. When I come to Prashanthi Nilayam, I am a devotee.
Beautiful.
And Swami has every right to treat me the way which he feels.
Which is good for me.
Which is good for me, which he feels is right."
You
know, to think of it, Swami was at one level giving the right treatment to the person depending on his standing in the society. But at the same time, was never hesitating to do what was right for him. Like last week when we had Harishankar, he used that terminology, which is perfect for Swami. He said, "Swami has ruthless compassion."
Beautiful.
He said, "In his compassion, what is good for you, if it calls for ruthlessness, there is no hesitation."
In fact, just extending it a little bit, we heard that another very famous musician, Swami called him for the interview after the concert,
mm-hmm.
and gave him thorough scolding.
Okay.
And Swami took him to task, and Swami said, why did you not practice before you went onto the stage?
Oh.
Don't take the audience for granted ever. You might have practiced other, but before you go to the stage, you have to practice and go. And that person was obviously in tears. So, I mean, if it's good for you, he will do it.
Right. Wonderful. So, shall we move on to the next discourse?
Yes.
The clip in this discourse.
Sahajanga, manavunaku, anni vidhamulainatuvanti yokka bandhanaku moola karanamu, abhimana, ahankaramule. It is the attachment and ego which bind man for everything. That is the very basis of all bondage.
Nenu aneetunte ahankaramu, nadi ane mamakaramu. Ee rendu poyinappudu neevu neevu gane nilustavu.
If you can get rid of the feeling of I and the feeling of mine, then you will remain your pure self.
Ee vidhamainatunte ahankaram mamakaramulanta kudanu aaharam chetane kooduthuntayi.
All this ego and attachment come on account of the food that we partake.
Ee dushtamaina leka durarjitamaina aaharamu manavuni aneka vidhuluga kudanu ajnanamlo munchutundi.
The food acquired by unfair means, unfair earning, that will be
pavitramaina bhavamunu anachagottundi.
That will suppress all good feelings in man.
Ekkada ఎప్పుడు ఏమి ఎవరితో ఏలాగా మాట్లాడాలి అనేటువంటి విషయాన్ని కూడా మర్చిపోతుంది.
హీ లూజెస్ ఆల్ ద పవర్ ఆఫ్ డిస్క్రిమినేషన్ టు విత్ హూమ్ వెన్ వేర్ వాట్ టు టాక్ అండ్ హౌ టు టాక్.
కనుకనే మహాభారత యుద్ధములందు భీష్ముడు మహాజ్ఞాని, మహాత్యాగి, అతని యొక్క దీక్షను ఇట్టిది అట్టిదిని ఎవరు కూడా వర్ణించలేరు. పితృఆజ్ఞ పరిపాలన శ్రీరామచంద్రుడు 14 సంవత్సరాల వరకు మాత్రమే పరిపాలించాడు. కాని భీష్ముడు తండ్రి ఆజ్ఞను యావత్ జీవితం కూడా అనుసరించాడు.
భీష్మ వాజ్ ఎ వెరీ యునీక్లీ గ్రేట్ పర్సన్. ఫర్ ద సేక్ ఆఫ్ హీ సాటిస్ఫైయింగ్ హిస్ ఫాదర్స్ విష్, హీ అండర్టూక్ టు రిమైన్ బ్యాచులర్ థ్రూఅవుట్ హిస్ లైఫ్, వైల్ రామచంద్ర కుడ్ గో టు ఫారెస్ట్ టు సాటిస్ఫై అండ్ ఫుల్ఫిల్ ది విషెస్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ ఫాదర్ ఓన్లీ ఫర్ 14.
దృఢమైనటువంటి సంకల్పం కలిగినటువంటి వాడు కనుకనే ఇతనికి భీష్ముడు అని పేరు వచ్చింది.
యాజ్ హీ హ్యాడ్ సచ్ ఫర్మ్ రిజాల్వ్, హీ గాట్ ది అప్రోప్రియేట్ నేమ్.
ఇటువంటి ప్రతిజ్ఞలు ఎందు భీష్మునికి మించినటువంటి వారు మన భారతదేశం ఎందు ఏ చరిత్ర ఎందు కూడా కానరాదు.
అమంగ్ దోస్ పీపుల్ హూ హావ్ టేకెన్ గ్రేట్ వోస్, దేర్ ఈస్ నన్ కంపేరబుల్ టు భీష్మ ఇన్ ద హోల్ హిస్టరీ ఆఫ్ భారత్.
భీష్ముడు మహాభారత యుద్ధ సమయం నందు 9వ దినమున నేల కూలాడు.
9th day of the war, Mahabharata war, Bhishma was defeated.
సరతల్పం పైన పరుండినాడు.
He was lying down on the bed of arrows.
పాండవులు ద్రౌపదితో కూడాను కూడి పితామహుడైనటువంటి యొక్క భీష్మాచార్యని చూచే నిమిత్తమై దర్శించే నిమిత్తమై అక్కడికి వచ్చారు.
పాండవాస్ అకంపెనీడ్ బై ద్రౌపది కేమ్ టు దిస్ గ్రేట్ గ్రాండ్ ఫాదర్ for his darshan, for a vision of him.
Taratalpam paina parundinatuvanti bhishmudu dharmajunaku bhimunaku arjunaku nakula sahadevulaku shanti parvani bodhisthunnadu.
Lying down on the bed of arrows, Bhishma began teaching to Dharmaja and his brothers the
yedi dharmamu yedi adharmamu yedi nyayamu yedi anyayamu yedi akramamu yedi anacharamu అనేటువంటిది దేనిని మనం అనుభవించాలి అనుసరించాలి, దేనిని మనం అనుసరించకూడదు అనుభవించకూడదు అనేటువంటి విషయాన్ని పాండవులకు చెబుతున్నాడు.
హీ బిగాన్ ఎక్స్పౌండింగ్ వాట్ ఈజ్ రైచియస్నెస్, వాట్ ఈజ్ అన్రైచియస్నెస్, వాట్ షుడ్ బి ఎంజాయిడ్, వాట్ షుడ్ నాట్ బి ఎంజాయిడ్, వాట్ ఈజ్ జస్టిస్, వాట్ ఈజ్ ఇన్జస్టిస్.
ఈ విధంగా ప్రశాంతమైనటువంటి వాతావరణం నందు పాండవులకు శాంతి పర్వాన్ని బోధించే సమయం నందు వినలేక ద్రౌపది పక్కున నవ్వింది.
ది హోల్ సరౌండింగ్స్ వర్ పీస్ఫుల్, ద టీచింగ్ వాజ్ గోయింగ్ ఆన్. ద్రౌపది సడన్లీ బర్స్ట్ ఇన్ టు లాఫ్టర్.
పెద్దలైనటువంటి పితామహుడైనటువంటి జ్ఞాని అయినటువంటి ఈ భీష్ముడు సందేశాన్ని ఇచ్చే సమయ లోపల స్త్రీ, సామాన్యమైనటువంటి స్త్రీ ఈ విధంగా నవ్వటం అవమానపరిచినట్టు కాదా?
When such a great, wise, grand man was teaching, should a woman, ordinary woman laugh? Is it not something?
Yanta vinaya vidhetanu anubhavinchi andinchavasinatundi ee stree ee vidhamga navvindeni Bhimudiki kopam vachindi, kandalu kadirinchadu.
Bhima was rather enraged. How could this lady, who will show so much of humility and obedience, laugh like that? Is it appropriate?
అర్జునకు కన్నులు ఎర్రబడిపోయాయి.
అర్జున ఐస్ బికేమ్ రెడ్ షాట్.
ధర్మజుడు తల వంచుకున్నాడు.
ధర్మజ బెండ్ డౌన్ హిస్ హెడ్.
నకుల సహదేవులు చాలా విచారపడుతున్నారు.
నకుల అండ్ సహదేవ వర్ వెరీ మచ్ వరీడ్.
పాండవుల యొక్క గౌరవం ప్రతిష్టలంతా కూడాను ఈ విధమైనటువంటి యొక్క దీంతో కేవలము ఒక అవమానం పాలవుతుండాలే అని కూడాను అందులో ఒకరికొకరు విచారణ చేస్తూ వచ్చారు.
All of them were worried and thinking that the honor and great name and good name of Pandavas has gone to dust on account of the behavior of this woman.
Chakkaga gurtinchi Bhishmudu, Bhima, Arjuna, Dharmaja, Draupadi chala goppa buddhi kaliginatundi.
Bhishma, who understood the reason as to why Draupadi
was wrong. Anaku minchinatvanti yokka pativrata ee jagattunandu kaanararu.
There is no woman who is more chaste than
maha gunavanturalu.
She is extremely virtuous lady.
Prapanchamlo evariki enatvanti gunamulu moodu untunnavi amelo.
There are three extraordinary qualities which she possesses, which
ane karanam leni karyam cheyadu.
She would never do anything without reason.
Kanuka ee navvadaniki karanam unnadi.
Let us find out the reason for this.
Ee karanani ippudu nirupistanu chudamani cheptani. అమ్మా ద్రౌపది దగ్గరికి రా అని పిలిచాడు.
ఐ షో యూ ది రీజన్ ఎస్ టు వై షీ హాస్ లాఫ్డ్ అండ్ హీ టోల్డ్ అండ్ హీ ఆస్క్డ్ ద్రౌపది, అమ్మా కమ్ హియర్, కమ్ క్లోజర్ టు మీ.
నీ నవ్వుకు కారణమేమిటో చక్కగా వివరించి నీ పతులకు అర్థమయ్యేటట్టుగా బోధించమన్నాడు.
కైండ్లీ టెల్ యాజ్ టు వై యూ హ్యావ్ లాఫ్డ్, లెట్ యువర్ హస్బెండ్స్ అండర్స్టాండ్ క్లియర్లీ.
పితామహ, ఇది నా దోషమే, కానీ అన్యాయ అక్రమ అనాచార అసత్యములతో ప్రవర్తిస్తున్నటువంటి కౌరవులకు బోధించవలసినటువంటి బోధనలు సత్యధర్మ నియమ నిరుతులైనటువంటి పాండవులకు బోధించడంలో ఉన్నటువంటి అర్థం ఏమిటి?
వెల్, ఇట్ ఈస్ మై ఫాల్ట్ టు హ్యావ్ లాఫ్డ్, బట్ ఐ వాంట్ టు నో యువర్ టీచింగ్స్ ఆర్ మోర్ అప్రోప్రియేట్ టు కౌరవాస్ హూ ఆర్ గోయింగ్ ఆన్ ద రాంగ్ పాత్ ఫర్ ది వెరీ ఎంబాడిమెంట్ ఆఫ్ ఇంజస్టిస్.
సన్యాధిపతిగా ఉంటుండి కూడాను నీవు కౌరవులకు బోధించవలసినటువంటి విషయంలో పాండవులకు బోధిస్తున్నావు. పాండవులు ఏనాడు అధర్మాన్ని ఆచరించలేదు, లేదా అక్రమంలో ప్రవేశించలేదు. వారు నిత్య సత్యవ్రతులు, ధర్మాచరణలు. ఇలాంటి వారికి నీ బోధ కేవలం వృథా అయిపోతున్నది అని నేను విచారించానని.
యాజ్ కమాండర్ ఇన్ చీఫ్ అండ్ ఎల్డర్ యూ షుడ్ హావ్ టాట్ టు ది కౌరవాస్ హూ ఆర్ గోయింగ్ ఆన్ ద రాంగ్ పాత్ ఆఫ్ ఇన్జస్టిస్ అండ్ వేరియస్ టైప్స్ ఆఫ్ మిస్టేక్స్. Why should you teach to the Pandavas who have always followed the path of righteousness and truth?
Nee bodhananta durmargulaku dushtulaku atyavasaram.
Your teachings are required for evil minded ones and wicked ones.
Appudu Bhishmudu cheptunnadu.
Then Bhishma told her,
Draupadi, nenu kauravula vaipuna nenu undinatvanti vaadanu. Naa aaharam antai kudanu kauravulu pettina atvanti aaharame. నేను వారి పలు పుసు పప్పు తిన్నాను, కనుకనే వారి అన్యాయ అక్రమ అనాచార అసత్యములతో కూడినటువంటి ఆహారం నేను భుజించటం చేత నా రక్తమంతా అన్యాయ అక్రమంగానే మారిపోయింది.
హీ సెడ్, ద్రౌపది, ఐ హాడ్ పార్టేకన్ ఫుడ్ విచ్ వాజ్ ఆర్డర్డ్ ఇన్ ది ఇంప్రాపర్ వే బై ది కౌరవాస్ అండ్ దేర్ ఫోర్ మై బ్లడ్ వాజ్ ఫుల్ ఆఫ్ దట్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ యాటిట్యూడ్స్ ఓన్లీ.
నీ పతి అయినటువంటి అర్జునుడు వేసినటువంటి అమ్ము చేత ఆ యొక్క మాలిన్యమైనటువంటి రక్తం అంతా కూడా నువ్వు కారిపోయింది.
బై ది ఆరో షాట్ బై యువర్ హస్బెండ్ అర్జున దట్ ఎంటైర్ బ్లడ్ హ్యాస్ ఊజ్డ్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ మై బాడీ.
అట్టడుగులు ఉన్నటువంటి ధర్మములు ఇప్పుడు బయటకు వస్తున్నాయి.
ది రైచియస్నెస్ విచ్ వాజ్ హిడన్ విత్ ఇన్ మీ ఈజ్ కమింగ్ టు ది సర్ఫేస్.
ఇంతకాలము నా ధర్మమును, నా ప్రతిజ్ఞను, నా యొక్క న్యాయమును ఈ చెడు రక్తమే నన్ను కప్పిపెట్టింది.
ఆల్ మై రైచియస్నెస్, ఆల్ మై జస్టిస్ వాజ్ కవర్డ్ బై దిస్ బ్యాడ్ బ్లడ్.
కనుక ఇప్పుడు ఆ యొక్క చెడు రక్తం అంతా, మలినమైనటువంటి రక్తం అంతా పోయింది భూమి పైన.
యాజ్ ది ఇంప్యూర్ బ్లడ్ హ్యాస్ గాన్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ మై సిస్టమ్, నౌ
అడుగులు దాగినటువంటి యొక్క న్యాయ ధర్మములు ఇప్పుడు ఉప్పొంగి వస్తున్నాయి ద్రౌపది అన్నాడు.
ది జస్టిస్ అండ్ రైచియస్నెస్ విచ్ ఆర్ హిడెన్ ఇన్ మీ ఆర్ సర్జింగ్ ఫోర్త్ విత్ ఆల్ ద ఫోర్స్.
కనుక ఆహారం యొక్క ప్రభావము ఎంత గొప్పగా ఉంటున్నదో మీరు చక్కగా విచారించండి.
యూ కెన్ ఇమాజిన్ ద ఇన్ఫ్లుయెన్స్ విచ్ ఫుడ్ హ్యాస్ ఆన్ మ్యాన్స్ బిహేవియర్.
కనుక ద్రౌపది యొక్క నవ్వు వల్ల ఈ పరమ సత్యం కూడాను బయటపడింది.
ఆన్ అకౌంట్ ఆఫ్ ద్రౌపదీస్ లవింగ్ దిస్ గ్రేట్ ట్రూత్ హ్యాస్ కమ్ అవుట్.
That's a wonderful story, and it's so surprising how Swami is coming back to the importance of food.
Right.
And you know, in the course of what Swami started with, there's something very interesting. He says, if you have the right kind, if you do not have the right kind of food, you will forget what to talk, with whom to talk, when to talk, and how to talk.
Right.
Walk or word has been given so much importance, and that's why even Saint Tyagaraja sings samayaniki tagu maatalaadenu. He says he gives the appropriate word, uses the appropriate word at the appropriate time and to the appropriate person. You know, this is there is one famous story of one student.
Okay.
Who had to go, I believe, from where he was to the college on a bike, on the motorbike.
Mm-hmm.
And the first day he was going, there was a girl who was also going to the same college. She said, can you please drop me in the college? So he said, Swami has told to always help others. And he takes her on to his bike and he drops her. And he comes for darshan, and Swami came, and he was worried whether did I do a mistake or did I am I following Swami's word. Swami looked at him and said, no mistake. So he thought, yes, Swami has given permission. So then again, second day, she now stopped waiting for a regular transportation. She started waiting for him. Then after a couple of days, Swami came and said, hey, I told you no mistake. Why are you doing it? He said, Swami, you are telling me no mistake. Swami said, I said no mistake. Don't take that miss. So, I mean, he uses the right word and the right time for that. But it's very important how Swami says food has a direct bearing on the kind of words that you use. And
correct. You know, it's, as you said, very interesting, because here is a point where Swami is talking about ahankaram and mahakaram, mamakaram, and saying that you're not this body. But then he's stressing the importance of
food.
Eating the right kind of food.
Mm.
And another wonderful point that Swami is making is, you know, when you don't have ahankaram and mamakaram, when you're not influenced by what you are and what you, your possessions and your likes and dislikes, you will become the purest that you are.
Okay.
You know, one could say this as the end of a journey, you know, when you completely give up these two, you're the purest. But I think even in daily life, if we were to look at ourselves, the moments when we feel that we have had the purest thought, or we've had the purest intention, it is when we have limited our desires and our priorities to the least and done something.
Correct. Most selfless.
Most selfless. And that is what Swami is making us do, you know, whenever he does. He inspires us to do something selfless, or
correct.
Do something, go out of our way and do something which is like a seva or something. No, that is when you can remove yourself as much as possible from the scene and do something. And that will give you a glimpse of that pure moment, maybe
correct.
To strive to go forward.
Correct. Ahamkara, mamakara. And Swami would often say, it's like the only way to catch monkeys, he would say, is these people put things in the pot. They put a lot of items in the pot.
Groundnuts.
And the monkey puts its hand inside and it grabs. and the moment it grabs, its hand bulges, and so it's not able to remove it from the pot. And so it's lost in wondering how to remove its hand, and at that time the monkey is caught. So he says to hold on to attachment is very difficult and you get caught in this world. But to let go is very easy.
And Swami would often say that the monkey thinks that somebody is holding its hand.
Mm.
The monkey thinks the pot is holding its hand.
Mm.
But actually, it is not the monkey is also holding the pot.
Mm.
It is just that desire is trapping that monkey.
That's true.
You know, that greed is trapping the monkey.
You know, talking of attachment, and Swami speaking about Bhishma and Pandavas as well, I think I've narrated this episode earlier, but there's no harm in just reiterating it quickly.
Okay.
You know, when there was a drama of Pandavas and so in 1999, and we were fortunate to be part of the drama.
Mm-hmm.
There was the costumes that was brought in, and Swami was very, very happy, and he was, with all beams, he was looking at all the Pandavas, and he was saying, okay, Bhima, you are the fattest here, you try the costume. If it fits you, then we are safe. Then he told Arjuna, you are the tallest here, you also try the costume. So it was a very jovial moment, and it was very nice. And Swami, and for people who know how the interview room is, there was a curtain and there was a narrow passage. So these two boys went in with the costumes of Arjuna and Bhima, and there was a teacher also who was helping them with the costumes.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going on, putting it on. It was taking such a long time. And Swami was waiting for them to come out. And he said, what is this? Why are they taking so much time? Finally, when they just opened the screen and came out, Swami was so happy. He says, this is how Pandavas looked. You know, he certified the costume, certified everything. Then he said, now go in and remove it and come. They just went in and came out in 2 minutes. Then Swami said, see, it is attachment is like this. To put on is so difficult. It takes so much time. It takes so much of your energy. But to let go is so easy.
Beautiful.
It's to let go, to just give up, is so easy. And see how quickly they came out.
You know, and another analogy which Swami would often say is that of the bird of prey, or suppose there's a crow. It grabs something, prey, and when it flies, all the other birds come and pester it. They all fly around it and they try to grab the thing. So this, Swami says, this bird is trying to maneuver out of that these birds which are pursuing it, and goes this way, that way, and finally it says, let go of this thing. The moment it drops, it's free.
It's free. That's
Swami
true.
Says that's what attachment does to you. As long as you're holding on to it, then you will try to insure that, and you will try to find something to insure the insurance, and you end up,
in a very jovial way. On the veranda, I have heard Swami saying this even to children. Swami's sometimes his sense of humor. Even in that sense of humor, there is a lesson. Swami, my leg is paining. One boy got, just cut it and throw it in Chitravati. Then you'll be free of the pain once and for all. in a way, he's trying to say, just give up that attachment to my leg is paining, my this thing is paining. Throw it in Chitravati, over.
No, just going back to the story which Swami has just narrated, this very, very strong personality Swami has spoken about Bhishma. Swami is saying that he is the man, what he has done is more than what even Rama did.
That's such
a powerful thing. Swami is saying that holding on to one's word, Rama at least had to go only for 14 years, but Bhishma lived it all his life, and Swami says that he lived 420 years or whatever. He's such a man, a man of such strong resolve and such strong character. But he is, gone through this plight where he's lying on this one, and he's been influenced. It is one thing to say that this is a character in Mahabharata, but actually what Swami is saying is, we all are actually going through this thing. We all have our own goods, and we've done good work, and we've done whatever is right, and we've done whatever is good, but also have got lost in the way. We've also got lost and we've also done the wrong things and we've also done things which maybe has taken us away from the path.
Okay.
But then Swami says that there will come a period of purification, like what Bhishma went through.
Mm-hmm.
Bhishma says when he's lying on the bed of arrows, that all these arrows which Arjuna has shot at me has purified me.
Correct.
He doesn't say that it has wounded me, it has hurt me. He's saying it has removed all that blood which was impure. And now that dharma is coming out, it's like surging forth from within. That's the way Swami puts it. And you know, I think all of us, whenever we go through tribulations in life, that is what it does to us.
Correct.
It kind of purifies us, rings us and removes what is not us. And so that, you know, that pure form of us just bursts forth.
Yeah, I mean, it's common experience. Only when we are going through problems, we think of God.
Right.
And we think, oh God, where are you? You know, it's a very strange story because there's a book in the Tibetan custom where in that school, the teacher leaves the pupils after the bell is given.
Okay.
You know, at the end of a period of a class, the bell is given and then 5 minutes later the teacher releases the students and they have to run to the next class. And the next teacher takes a stick and hits them for coming late. And so this was almost an accepted practice and this went on. And one of the monks, when he grew up later, he went back and he said, this is one aspect I can't understand. Why do you do that? They said, we make it such, we do this on purpose because then the student will automatically start thinking of God. He'll say, God, what is this? This teacher is leaving me late. This teacher is punishing me for coming late. And this is an impossible situation. And unconsciously, the pupil, the student starts turning to God for any impossible situation. And eventually for any situation in life, he starts turning to God. And this is a part of the training. Isn't it beautiful?
Wonderful. In fact, you know, one thing which we have discussed about doing good and doing bad and when bad happens to good people.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things which we came to a conclusion, and we've said this many times before, maybe quickly I can just mention it here. You know, when you're constantly doing good or constantly not harming anybody, when something wrong happens to you, you immediately ask God, why is this happening to me? If you've been a crooked person, no? If good comes to you, you're happy. If bad comes to you, at the back of your mind, you know that, you know, after all, I've done so much nonsense and it's just coming back to me. It's just reflection. But it's that person who has lived a good life, the person who has lived a noble life, when something hits him, something bad occurs in his life, he always says, why me? You know, why have you done this? And that vichara is so important. You know, that quest and that inquiry is so important. And that is what being good actually gives you. And being bad actually does not give you that, you know, inquiry, put you in that inquiry process.
Correct, correct. The intention is what is, earnestness is what is important.
Right, right.
Beautiful.
So should we go to the next
clip? Yes. Is this the last clip in the discourse?
Yes, this is the last clip in the discourse. We'll complete the discourse with this clip.
Anduvalle Bhishmudu cheppadu. That is why Bhishma told. Patula palu matalaku yeduru cheppanga bodu.
This he would never answer back to the husbands. Come
on. Pati gaadu. Aidi mandi patudu. Oka pati yokka aagnanu nadchukotame chaala kashtam ee kaalamlo. ఐదు మంది పతుల యొక్క ఆజ్ఞను శిరసావహించి కాదు లేదు అనేటువంటి జవాబు లేకుండా నడుచుకుంటూ వచ్చింది.
She obeyed the commands of 5 husbands. These days it is difficult even to obey the commands of even one husband. And she always obediently carried out the commands.
వారి సేవలు చేయగా తీరదనదు.
She would always serve them most willingly.
తనకు నున్నదాని చే తృప్తి గనుచునుండు.
She was always contented with whatever she had.
ద్రౌపదికి సాటి ఏ పతివ్రతయు లేదు.
There is no other chaste woman who is comparable to ద్రౌపది in her greatness.
ఇక్కడ ద్రౌపది యొక్క పతులు ఎవరు?
Who are the husbands of ద్రౌపది?
ధర్మార్జున భీమ నకుల సహదేవులు కాదు.
It is not Dharma, Arjuna, Bhima, Nakula and Sahadeva.
Pancha pranamule Draupati anaga vakshuddhi ainatundi yokka agni ki patulu ani. Prati manavudi yokkanu ee 5 patulu untunnayi.
There are 5 husbands in every man.
Prana, apana, vyana, udana, samana.
ప్రాణ అపాన వ్యాన ఉదాన సమాన
ఈ ఐదింటిని చక్కగా సమన్వయపరుచుకొని అనుసరిస్తూ వచ్చింది.
ఆల్ దీస్ ఫైవ్ లైఫ్ బ్రెస్ వర్క్ ఇన్ యూనిజాన్ అండ్ సస్టైన్ లైఫ్.
ప్రతి మానవుడు కూడాను స్త్రీ పురుషులు కూడాను ఈ యొక్క ఐదు ప్రాణములను కూడాను మనము కలిగే ఉంటున్నాం.
బీట్ మ్యాన్ ఆర్ ఉమెన్ ఆల్ దీస్ విల్ హ్యావ్ దీస్ ఫైవ్ లైఫ్ బ్రెస్.
కనుక మనము వీటిని అనుసరిస్తున్నామా? ఒక్కొక్క సమయంలో ఒక్కొక్కటి ఉద్రేకిస్తుంది.
వన్ అట్ ఎ టైమ్ గోస్ ఆన్ ఎక్సైటింగ్ అస్.
కనుకనే తాను చెప్పాడు, తనకు నున్నదాని చే తృప్తి గనుచునుండు.
దట్ ఈస్
వై ఎంత ఉన్నదో అంతతోనే తృప్తి పడుతుంటాడు.
దట్ ఈస్ వై ఇట్ ఈస్ సెడ్ దట్ షీ వాజ్ కంటెంటెడ్ విత్ వాట్ ఎవర్ షీ హ్యాడ్.
ఈనాటి వలె 500 రూపాయల నెలకు జీతం వస్తుంటే 1000 రూపాయల కంచి చీర నాకు కావాలని ఏడ్చటం లేదాయమ. 500 రూపాయలు వస్తుంటే దానికి తగినట్టుగానే నడుచుకునేటువంటి స్త్రీ.
లైక్ టుడేస్ ఉమెన్, ఇఫ్ ది హస్బెండ్ గెట్స్ ఎ సాలరీ ఆఫ్ 500 రూపీస్, షీ వుడ్ నెవర్ ఆస్క్ ఫర్ 1000 రూపీస్ సారీ. షీ వుడ్ ఆల్వేస్
మనకున్న దానితోనే మనం తృప్తి పడాలి.
వుడ్ ఆల్వేస్ బి కంటెంటెడ్ విత్ వాట్ ఎవర్ వీ హ్యావ్.
కనుకనే ద్రౌపది నిరంతరం కూడా తృప్తిగానే ఉండేటువంటిది.
షీ వాజ్ ఆల్వేస్ ఎ కంటెంటెడ్ పర్సన్.
కారణం ఏమిటి?
వాట్ వాజ్ ద రీజన్?
మన వారు అసంతృప్తికి కారణము ఉన్నదాన్ని త్యజిస్తూ లేనిదానికై ఆరాట పడుతున్నారు, అందువల్లనే అశాంతికి గురి అయిపోతున్నారు.
అవర్ పీపుల్ ఆర్ డిస్కంటెంటెడ్ బికాస్ దే డు నాట్ కేర్ టు బి సాటిస్ఫైడ్ విత్ వాట్ దే హావ్. దే ఆల్వేస్ వాంట్ టు హావ్
సంథింగ్. లేనిదానిని ఆశించటం లేదు, ఉన్నదానిని వదలటం లేదు, ఉన్నదాన్ని అనుభవిస్తుంటారు.
షీ ఆల్వేస్ ఎంజాయిడ్ వాట్ ఎవర్ షీ హ్యాడ్, నెవర్ వాంటెడ్ టు హావ్ ఎనీథింగ్ మోర్ దాన్ వాట్ షీ హ్యాడ్.
కనుక ఈ కారణమును పురస్కరించుకుని ఆహారం చేత బుద్ధులు ఏ విధమైనటువంటి స్థితిని ఇంకా మారుతుందాయనేటువంటిది విద్యార్థులు చక్కగా గుర్తించాలి.
స్టూడెంట్ షుడ్ కరెక్ట్లీ అండర్స్టాండ్ అండ్ రియలైజ్ హౌ దర్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ గెట్ షేప్డ్ బై ద ఫుడ్ దట్ దే పార్టేక్.
మన రాగద్వేషములు కాని అభిమాన మమకారములు కాని ఆహారం చేతనే సంభవిస్తున్నాయి.
వెదర్ ఇట్ ఈస్ లైక్స్ అండ్ డిస్లైక్స్, అటాచ్మెంట్ అండ్ హేట్రెడ్, ఆల్ దీస్ థింగ్స్ కమ్ బై ది ఫుడ్ దట్ యు పార్టేక్.
కనుక ఈ ఆహార నియమం అనేటువంటిది మనోబుద్ధులకు అత్యవసరమైనటువంటిది.
దేర్ఫోర్ ది డిసిప్లిన్ రిలేటింగ్ టు ఫుడ్ ఈజ్ ఎక్స్ట్రీమ్లీ ఇంపార్టెంట్ ఫార్ మైండ్ అండ్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్.
మనస్సు యొక్క తత్వము చాలా విచిత్రం.
ది వెరీ నేచర్ ఆఫ్ మైండ్ ఈజ్ రాదర్.
కనుకనే శాస్త్రములన్నీ ఏ విధంగా దీనిని నిర్ణయించాయంటే,
దట్ ఈస్ వై స్క్రిప్చర్స్ హావ్ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ మైండ్.
మానవుడు ఇంద్రియములను అనుసరించడం చేత పశువైపోతున్నాడు.
బై ఫాలోయింగ్ ది సెన్సస్ మ్యాన్ బికమ్స్ ఎన్ యానిమల్.
మానవుడు మనసును అనుసరించడం చేత మనిషి అవుతున్నాడు.
బై ఫాలోయింగ్ ద మైండ్ మ్యాన్ బికమ్స్ ఎ మ్యాన్.
మానవుడు బుద్ధిని అనుసరించడం చేత మహాతత్వము కలిగినటువంటి వాడవుతున్నాడు, మహనీయుడవుతున్నాడు.
మ్యాన్ బై ఫాలోయింగ్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ బికమ్స్ ఎ గ్రేట్ మ్యాన్.
మానవుడు ఆత్మను అనుసరించినటువంటి వాడు బ్రహ్మవిత్ బ్రహ్మైవ భవతి, తానే బ్రహ్మగా మారుతున్నాడు.
బై ఫాలోయింగ్ ఆత్మ మ్యాన్ బికమ్స్ బ్రహ్మ.
కనుక మనం ఇంద్రియమును అనుసరించడం చేతనే పశువుగా మారుతున్నాం.
వీఆర్ బికమింగ్ యానిమల్స్ బై ఫాలోయింగ్ సెన్సస్.
కానీ మనసునైనా అనుసరించి మానవుడిగానైనా నిలు.
అట్లీస్ట్ వీ షుడ్ ఫాలో మైండ్ అండ్ రిమైన్ హ్యూమన్ బీయింగ్స్.
బుద్ధిని అనుసరించి మహనీయుడు కాకపోయినప్పటికీ మనసరించి మనసును అనుసరించి మానవుడిగానైనా జీవించు.
బై ఫాలోయింగ్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ యూ మే నాట్ బికమ్ గ్రేట్ బట్ అట్లీస్ట్ ఫాలో ద మైండ్ అండ్ రిమైన్ ఏ హ్యూమన్ బీయింగ్.
అయితే చాలా మంది ఇక్కడ సందేహించవచ్చును, మనసు కూడా చాలా చెడ్డదే కదా అని.
మెనీ పీపుల్ మే గెట్ ఎ డౌట్ ఈవెన్ దిస్ మైండ్ కుడ్ బి రాదర్.
మనసు ఎప్పుడూ పరిశుద్ధమైనటువంటిది.
మైండ్ ఈజ్ ఆల్వేస్ ప్యూర్.
ఇటువైపున ఇంద్రియాన్ని అనుసరించడం చేతనే మాలిన్యాన్ని పొందుతుండాలి.
వెన్ ఇట్ ఫాలోస్ ది సెన్సస్
ఇంద్రియములు సేకరించినటువంటి విషయ సామగ్రిని మనసుకు అందిస్తుంటాయి.
ది సెన్సస్ గోన్ సప్లయింగ్ ది మైండ్.
మనసే ఏమాత్రం విషయాన్ని స్వీకరించడం లేదు.
మైండ్ బై ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్ డస్ నాట్ గెట్ అటాచ్డ్ టు ఎనీథింగ్ అట్ ఆల్.
మనసు ఇంద్రియానికి మాస్టర్.
మైండ్ ఈజ్ ద మాస్టర్ ఆఫ్ సెన్సస్.
కనుక ఈ యొక్క మనసు యొక్క ఫాలోయర్స్ అయినటువంటి ఇంద్రియాలు అనేక విషయాన్ని స్వీకరించి ఈ మనసుకు అందించడం చేతనే మనసు చక్కగా కూర్చొని భోంచేస్తుంటాడు.
దీస్ సెన్సర్స్ విచ్ ఆర్ ది ఫాలోవర్స్ ఆఫ్ ద మైండ్ కలెక్ట్ ఆల్ ది విషయాస్ సెన్స్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్ అండ్ సప్లై టు ద మైండ్.
ఈ మనసు బుద్ధిని కూడాను కొంచెం అనుసరించిందంటే ఆ బుద్ధి వచ్చి చెప్పుతుంది మనసుకు, ఇది చేయతగినది, ఇది చేయతగనది, ఇది నీ ఒప్పుకోకూడదు, ఇది ఒప్పుకోవచ్చును అని నిర్ణయిస్తుంది. కానీ బుద్ధిని ఏమాత్రము సంప్రదించటం లేదు ఈ మనసు.
ఇఫ్
మైండ్ ఇచ్చిన దాన్ని అనుభవించడం చేతనే ఈ మనసు కొంతవరకు మాలిన్యాన్ని పొందుతుండాలి.
ఇఫ్ మైండ్ కెన్ ఆల్సో ఫాలో ది ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ విచ్ కెన్ డిసైడ్ విచ్ ఇస్ గుడ్ అండ్ విచ్ ఇస్ నాట్ గుడ్, దెన్ ఇట్ వుడ్ బి సేఫ్. బట్ ఇట్ ఇస్ నాట్ డూయింగ్ దట్ అట్ ఆల్, దేర్ ఫోర్ ఇట్ ఇస్ గెటింగ్ ఇన్ టు ప్రాబ్లమ్.
కనుక మనము ఈ గడచిన దినములంతా కూడాను శరీర ఇంద్రియ మనోబుద్ధులు ఈ నాలుగింటిని గురించి మనము చక్కగా గుర్తించుకుంటాం.
All these days we have recognized and realized the aspects relating to body, the senses, the mind and intelligence.
ఈ నాలుగింటి యొక్క ఏకత్వమైన స్వరూపమే క్షేత్రము అన్నారు.
This క్షేత్రం refers to a combination of all these four.
ఈ క్షేత్రము కేవలము జడమైనటువంటిది, మనస్సు జడమైనటువంటిది, ఇంద్రియములు జడమైనటువంటివి, లేక దేహము జడమైనటువంటిది. అయితే ఈ జడమైనటువంటి దానిని గురించి ఈనాడు తెలుసుకున్నాం. అయితే ఈ జడమైనటువంటి వాటి యొక్క స్వభావాన్ని ఏ రీతిగా కంట్రోల్ చేసేది అదే క్షేత్రజ్ఞుడు.
దిస్ క్షేత్రం ఫీల్డ్ విచ్ ఈస్ అసోసియేటెడ్ విత్ బాడీ సెన్సస్ మైండ్ అండ్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ ఈజ్ ఇనర్ట్. ఆల్ దీస్ ఆర్ ఆల్సో ఇనర్ట్. బాడీ ఈజ్ ఇనర్ట్, సెన్సస్ ఆర్ ఇనర్ట్, మైండ్ ఈజ్ ఇనర్ట్ అండ్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ ఇస్ ఇనర్ట్.
ఈ క్షేత్రజ్ఞులకు మధ్య కొంత అవకాశం ఉంటుండాలి సృష్టి యొక్క పరిణామం.
And we'll have to just know about Kshetrajna. Between this Kshetra and Kshetrajna, there are certain subtle things which will have to be known.
ఈ క్షేత్రం అనేటువంటిది మరి కొన్ని మాలిన్యమైనటువంటి దీంతో కూడాను శుద్ధమైనటువంటి దీంతో కూడాను స్నేహం కలిగి ఉంటుండాలి.
This Kshetram field is associated with certain things which are polluted and certain things which are pure.
అవి త్రిగుణములు.
And those are the qualities, three qualities, త్రిగుణాస్.
సత్వ రజో తమో గుణములు.
దోస్ క్వాలిటీస్ ఆర్
సత్వ రజో తమో గుణములు. చాలా విచిత్రమైనటువంటివి, చాలా ఆశ్చర్యంగా ఉండేటువంటివి.
దీస్ త్రీ క్వాలిటీస్ ఆర్ వెరీ స్ట్రేంజ్.
ఏ విధంగా సృష్టింపబడినది ఈ సృష్టికి, ఈ త్రిగుణములు ఏ రీతిగా ఆధారమైపోయి ఈ జగత్తంతా త్రిగుణాత్మకమైనటువంటి జగత్ అని పేరు పొందడానికి ఏమి కారణము అనేటువంటి విషయాన్నంతా కూడాను రేపటి దిన మనం తెలుసుకుందాం. నిజంగా ఈ త్రిగుణముల యొక్క సృష్టి అనేటువంటిది ఏనాడు కూడాను మీరు విని ఉండాలనుకుంటారు. కనుక అలాంటి విషయాన్ని రేపటి దినము చక్కగా మనం గుర్తించడానికి ప్రయత్నించాలి.
దిస్ ఎంటైర్ క్రియేషన్ ఈజ్ మేడప్ ఆఫ్ దీస్ త్రీ క్వాలిటీస్ అండ్ వీల్ హావ్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ ది వేరియస్ ఆస్పెక్ట్స్ రిలేటెడ్ టు దీస్ క్వాలిటీస్, హౌ వాట్ రోల్ దే ప్లే. ఫ్రమ్ టుమారో ఆన్వర్డ్స్ వీల్ ట్రై టు నో ఆల్ ద డీటెయిల్స్.
I think that last statement really took us back to 1990. You know, really wish we were there and Swami was saying this, and just can feel the you know, the enthusiasm of those people who would have been there when Swami said those words. Tomorrow we will see, I will tell you something very special, and
which you would not have heard,
never heard. And the way Swami puts it, it's not like I am going to tell you something which you would have never heard. You might not have heard this. We will learn about it tomorrow.
Correct.
You know, manam telusukundam, that's what Swami said. We will come to know of it. What can we say?
Amazing,
beautiful.
And it goes on with you know, the beginning of this clip. Swami continues with the Draupadi example and tells how the five husbands are also the five prana, right, apana, right. Vyana, udana, samana. And I guess we will have to find out what these different prana shaktis mean to us.
Right. But in general, I think it is all the processes of the body.
Okay.
That's what Swami usually says, you know. Mm-hmm. One is, prana is of course
inhalation.
Inhalation, exhalation. Mm-hmm. And one is intake of food. One is metabolism. Mm-hmm. One is your process by which you excrete what is not right for your body.
Okay.
And then speech is a very important part of that.
Correct.
And wonderfully Swami is saying that Draupadi as a Pativrata is not just a character in Mahabharata, but it is each one of you, it is in you. And that which maintains the equilibrium between all this.
Mm.
And Swami is then again leading that onto food. That is why food is very important.
But you know, when Swami comes back to food here, I was just thinking about what Swami told way back in the second or third discourse. And it's very strange because, you know, the in a way, one of the earliest discourses in the series, Swami talked about food. And he said, you know, in the way that was at a very gross level of existence at that time. But that is affecting the subtlest, that is ahamkara or ego right now. And that is closest to the atma and it's affecting that. But just thinking on that, Swami very clearly said, food is not what you only what you take through your mouth.
Right.
And here I'm sure he is meaning, food is what you take in through any of the senses, five senses.
Right.
Just for people who have missed the earlier session, he said that anything that you take in through any of the senses, like the eyes, the nose, the mouth and hearing, all that is food. So it's... Sattvic food doesn't mean just fruits and milk. That's what Swami had told.
Right. In fact, you know, that is the same point that Swami is making here, because Swami is talking about the mind. He's saying mind is pure by itself, but it just sits and consumes whatever the senses give.
Correct.
And if it goes absolutely by what the senses give it, then it is going to go down the path of impurity.
Correct.
Once in a while, at least it should turn to buddhi and take the advice of buddhi.
Mm.
And that's the same point that Swami is making here, because since you said that, food is not just what you consume through your mouth.
Mm.
You know, it is everything that the senses take from the world outside is the food.
Mm.
And, you know, it's wonderfully put in this particular, you know, the way Swami is telling that, how kind of giving a cover up from whatever he has spoken of. You know,
very
starts
true.
With buddhi, and then it starts with the body.
Mm.
And then, you know, the way Swami is saying that all this we have spoken about, the body, the mind, the senses, the buddhi, these are all kshetra.
Kshetra.
You know, initially, he said the body is called the kshetra, because it is inert. You know, that is one of the definitions Swami is giving.
Mm.
And now Swami is saying that all this is inert.
Mm.
And all these together constitute the kshetra. And you are none of these. You are the kshetrajna.
Mm. Wonderful. We wonder what attributes... Actually, kshetrajna as such should be attribute-less.
Right.
The one who is a knower of the kshetra is actually attributeless.
Right. And you know, in the Keno Upanishad, there's a very beautiful dialogue, the central dialogue in the whole of the Upanishad, you know, where the disciple comes and asks the master.
Yes.
He says, yes, because of what I'm able to see, because of what I'm able to hear.
Mm.
Because it's an understanding, you know, even a dead body has the eyes and the other senses.
Correct.
The skin is still there around the body, but the feelings are not there. The sensory perceptions are not there. So he says, what is it that is making me see? What is it that is making me hear? And, and the master says, it is the eye of the eye, the ear of the ear, you know, the sight of the sight. And then he says, what is it? And then he says, it is the mind of the mind. No, you might think that it is the mind which is actually performing this whole thing. And the master says that is also only one level. The mind is also in only in a processing state. But it is the mind of the mind. He's saying you are that. You are the one which is beyond all this. You know, the one that is the sakshi. That's what he says. The one which is using all these. The kshetrajna who is handling through the kshetra.
You know, in this context, Nisargadatta Maharaj gives a very beautiful analogy. And we have quoted this analogy earlier before also. Is that of the movie screen.
Right.
He says, when there is a movie show going on, what are the elements that are there? The person who is seeing the movie, the light, the screen, and the film.
Okay.
Okay. So he says, you are the person who is seeing the movie, you are, and the light is that of consciousness, and what the field on which the entire game goes on is the screen. You are all these three, but you are definitely not the film. The film which comes in between the light, the pure projection of white light on the screen, that awareness, pure awareness, is masked by the colors in the film. Okay, that film is actually composed of memories. It's composed of, you know, memories and fears and what you get from your actions, past actions. So everything is based on that. So he says, don't identify with the content of the film. Identify yourself with the light. Identify yourself with the person who is actually seeing the film. So, in a sense, all this remains Kshetra, and the person who is perceiving it is Kshetrajna.
One discourse, Swami very beautifully puts it.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There is the waves which is always restless. Mm-hmm. It's always lashing at the shore.
Mm-hmm.
And that causes froth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The froth is the has the least living time.
Mm-hmm.
And the wave has a little longer time. But that also is short-lived.
Mm-hmm.
But actually the essence and the truth of the ocean is the silence in its depths.
Mm.
If you're going to relate yourself with the froth, if you're going to relate yourself with the wave, that is when you're actually deluding yourself.
Mm.
Relate yourself with the depth of the ocean.
Mm.
That is what you really are.
Mm. That's true.
And maybe we should also mention this point which Swami made. You know, very beautifully Swami has put this whole... Whatever we have come through in this series so far, Swami saying that, you know, if you follow the senses,
correct,
you will be in the state of the animal.
Animal.
Because the animal is processed that way. You know, the senses guide its existence.
Correct.
And then Swami says, you follow your mind, you will be a man.
Man.
Follow your buddhi, you will be a, you know, Mahaniya.
Great man.
Swami says, you will be a Mahatma, you will be a great man. But if you follow your Atma, you can reach the state of Brahman, because Brahmavid, Brahmahiva Bhavati, that's what Swami says.
Beautiful.
Wonderful. It's a quick summary of
all the discourses this far. I mean, the way he has analyzed each of this, the body, the senses, the mind, the buddhi, I don't think anywhere else it's given in such a platter. I mean, so simple and so beautiful.
And Swami concluded the discourse with by saying that tomorrow we will see something more exciting.
I wish tomorrow is next Thursday.
Unfortunately, you know, for us, we'll have to wait for a week.
That's true.
So, dear listeners, that interesting discourse which Swami mentioned, even as this discourse was concluding, we'll have to wait for a week. We'll be back with you next Thursday, same time, 7:30, with the next episode of Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam. We'll be bringing you the 10th discourse in that series. So, on behalf of Sai Prakash, on behalf of myself, I offer this effort of ours at Bhagwan's Lotus Feet. We're going to leave you with the bhajan which Swami sang at the end of this discourse. As we said, this was the concluding part which we played. And as this bhajan fades out, you'll be joined by Bishu for his last segment of the day, outside, inside, deep inside.
Chitta chora ye soda ke ba navanite chore gopa. Chitta chora ye soda ke ba navanit chore gopa. Gopa, gopa, gopa. Ganadhar Gopal, 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 Ganadhar. చిత్త చోరా యశోదా కే బాద్ నవనీత చోర గోపాల్